From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Today in The Exchange, a two-part show. First, the impact of this huge storm we're seeing in New England. Later in the hour, some exciting new research about bats and their amazing immune systems, what this might teach us about human disease. But let's start with the weather and hear from you. What have you seen in your area? How has this storm so far affected you? The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. And for the first half of the show today, we'll talk with a number of people who are keeping a very close eye on this storm. Joining us now from the Seacoast, where we hear that the storm has especially hit hard, is Beth Dynan. She's a reporter for Seacoast Online. She's in Portsmouth right now covering this storm. And Beth, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, what's the storm look like right now at the Seacoast?
I'd say it's exactly as predicted. It's coming down fast and it's blowing around in high winds. And you'll see in some places the snow has drifted as much as 4 or 5 feet. And in other places you might have under a foot. So there are those kinds of challenges.
Yeah, you've got that extra wind gusts coming off of the ocean, right?
Correct.
So
I
spoke with the
Public Works Director, who said as soon as they're clearing roads, it's filling back in. But, you know, they're doing the best to prioritize to keep police stations and fire stations cleared out. And the secondary roads are secondary priorities.
Right. And I was going to ask you that, Beth. What has been the effect on the local roads, not just from the incredible snow and the wind that you talked about, but also storm surges, strong waves and so forth?
We've heard about surges down in the Hampton area, nothing in Portsmouth. But one thing that's keeping Portsmouth police busy this morning is people that didn't heed the warning not to park on the street. So they are towing a bunch of cars this morning.
Oh, wow. Okay. And power outages, Beth, again, given especially the wind.
Nothing here yet. I do have an interesting event that's scheduled for today in Portsmouth at 1 o'clock. There's an online group that's planning a snowball fight at 1 o'clock, and they're saying it'll be in Market Square. And so far, there's over a couple hundred people signed up to attend. And the Public Works Director has told me he doesn't want them in Market Square because visibility is so poor; someone could get hurt. And he's hoping they'll reorganize in another place in the city.
Well, or maybe just wait until the storm passes, right?
Well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen that way. It's followed by beer, so it might be an excuse to meet for beer.
Anything else, Beth, that you want folks in other parts of the state to know about what is specifically happening at the Seacoast? Again, we do hear that, you know, your part of the state is being especially hard hit.
The cars, people that are going out are getting stuck. So I think it is wise to stay home and, you know, wait it out.
Okay. Beth, thank you very much for helping us out this
morning.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
That's Beth Dynan, reporter for Seacoast Online. Again, she's in Portsmouth this morning covering this storm there. With us now on the line is Bill Boynton. He's a spokesperson for the New Hampshire Department of Transportation. Bill, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. A flash mob snowball fight. I just learned something on the radio.
We try to keep you surprised, Bill. Well, we heard from Beth that it's pretty bad over on the Seacoast. What other parts of the state are you hearing about that have been especially hard hit, Bill?
Well, it got a little slower start in the central and northern parts of the state. I woke up at 4 a.m., looked outside, and I'm like, that's it? But right now in Concord, where I live, it's coming down pretty good, and it's spread pretty much as far north as the White Mountains region. Far northern COAS hasn't really seen much, but we have virtually all of our state crews out and have been for most of the night. Difficult visibility, but certainly great plowing conditions, very low traffic volumes. People heeded the advice of the governor. Our Transportation Management Center estimates less than 5% of the normal Tuesday morning traffic. So the plow trucks have the roads to themselves. It's a dry, cold-type condition, so the snow is just easy to plow. As Beth mentioned, the blowing aspect is going to be an ongoing problem where it just continues to fill in after the plow trucks go by. And even after the snow stops on Wednesday, we'll have to keep an eye on that probably for the next several hours beyond that.
Sure. So hardly anybody else on the roads besides the plow trucks then?
That's right. And, of course, Massachusetts, a very restrictive travel situation down there, a lot of school closures. So this is a much better situation for our trucks than some of those mixed precipitation, ice storm, icy condition situations where there's a lot of incidents and difficult getting to certain locations there.
Well,
they're out there. The longevity of it is going to be a challenge in terms of fatigue, but they've experienced these types of long storms before.
Sure. Well, in mentioning the statewide travel ban, Massachusetts, as you said, had one starting at midnight. Connecticut, we just heard, took theirs off. New Hampshire doesn't do this, do they, Bill, sort of travel bans?
We really don't. And occasionally state police will close a section of road if there's an incident, but we have no history of doing that. Of course, we had no history of closing the toll facilities either until midnight last night, but the decision was made in consultation with the governor regarding the safety of our Turnpike's employees that we closed the toll facilities to all transactions, both Easy Pass and cash, from midnight last night until midnight tonight.
Well, and especially if you've only got 5% of the regular traffic, you're not going to make that much money on the tolls. Anyway, just remind us very quickly, if you could, Bill, please. Sometimes people get frustrated because a certain road isn't well plowed. They blame DOT. Remind us of the breakdown of road responsibility between your agency and local governments.
Sure. We're responsible for about 4,600 miles of state highway. That translates to over 9,000 lane miles. We have a winter snow and ice policy that's based on a snowfall rate of no more than an inch an hour. So when you're getting 1 to 3 inches like now, there is no way we can keep up with that. We also have a tiered practice in which not all roads are treated the same. Our type 1A roadway is the interstate and the divided highway. That gets the most frequent attention, any road with over 15,000 average daily traffic. So we guarantee under our snow and ice policy, a maximum accumulation of 3 inches and a plowing frequency of an hour and a half. So it's going to still take that plow truck an hour and a half to get back to that same location. But you go down the list, and then you get to a secondary road with low salt, and it could be 2.5 hours before we get back to that location. So
wow.
When people say they haven't seen a plow truck, there may be a good reason for that. It may be on the other end of the run, so to speak. We have over 90 patrol facilities across the state that are responsible for various sections of road, and all of these plow crews take great pride in the regions they're responsible for.
And if people say, I haven't seen a plow in, you know, X amount of time, it may also be because they live on a major local road that you're not responsible for.
That's right. And in some situations, like Concord, for example, they have what they call urban compacts, where the state road may be also Loudoun Road, but the city maintains that section of state road.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing final advice, Bill, for folks listening is just stay home.
Well, I guess I would quote the headline in the Concord Monitor today, and that's hunker down. and most people, I guess, have decided to do that and just enjoy the weather out the window.
Yeah, and take your car off the road. As we heard from Beth, some people in Portsmouth parked overnight on the street.
Well, that's not a good idea either. And I live in a complex where they had to cone everything off to make sure people didn't park on the street. So, the plow drivers need their space to do their work.
Okay. Bill, thank you very much. I know you're busy. I'll let you go.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Bill Boynton again. He's a spokesperson for the New Hampshire Department of Transportation. You can join us with your questions and thoughts, the experiences that you're having with the storm, the impact you see around you, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. With us now on the line is Michael Todd. He's Public Information Officer for New Hampshire's Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And Michael Todd, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
Well, what have you seen broadly across the state, Michael? What's the latest?
Well, we're still in the throes of this storm, and we're expecting 1 to 2 feet of snow. That'll taper off towards the afternoon today, but it should continue snowing through Wednesday. Right now we're seeing the high winds that bring that dangerous whiteout condition that most emergency responders and state officials have been talking about. You know, we really want to emphasize that stay put. Do not go out in this storm. And if you have to go out, make sure you're staying on main roads. Let someone know your destination, arrival, time, and route. And pack an emergency kit, even if it's impromptu. You know, if you don't think to yourself, hey, I don't have my emergency kit ready already, it doesn't matter. get some water, some food, some blankets, and make sure you have those in your car with you.
An emergency kit in your car, just in case you happen to get stuck in a snowdrift.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, we're not expecting a lot of power outages. We only have about 25 right now, and you know, if you're the one without power, it's a big deal. So certainly we're not minimizing that, but. If you know, keep your heat at 70, prepare for the possibility of an outage, and keep your phones and other devices charging now and leave them charging, because if the power goes out, those devices can be key to your safety.
Yeah, we were madly charging everything in our house last night, so I hear you. Well, what are your greatest concerns, Michael, when you are facing a huge storm like this across the state?
Well, the biggest concern right now is people traveling on the roads. You know, the message has gone out over and over and over again, and we realize that, you know, some travel is going to be required. But if you do that, you know, safety is paramount. Remember that. Make smart decisions now to keep this storm from becoming a tragedy, you know, and just use your common sense. Drive slowly. Don't change lanes unless absolutely necessary. And again, if you can stay put, do so. Our other concern is with these high winds, individuals, as the snow lightens up, individuals are going to go out and start clearing. And, you know, don't overexert yourself. Make sure you're dressed in layers. Make sure you don't have exposed skin because you can get frostbite. You know, you have to be concerned about hypothermia as well. So it's really important that people keep themselves, you know, apprise themselves of the situation and dress and act appropriately.
Yeah, you said 1 to 2 feet through Wednesday. Does that mean through Wednesday, you know, 3, 4 in the morning, or through Wednesday all day?
At this time, it's you know, it's difficult to say exactly. Other than that, it'll start to taper off this afternoon, but it should continue snowing into the night and into Wednesday.
And you mentioned bundle up, don't get frostbite. When I was out on my way in this morning, and I did not drive, I want to let you know I was off the roads. It didn't seem that cold. Is the forecast for it to get a lot colder, Michael?
Well, it's. You know, the temperatures are going to be in the teens and all the way in the single digits as you get closer to the coast. But it's the wind chill factor. You know, you know, teens, and we're hardy, you know, in New Hampshire, and we know how to dress for the weather. But don't be misled. You know, we're looking at anywhere between 15 to 55 mile per hour wind gusts, and that can you know, lower the temperature significantly.
Okay, Michael, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to work.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura.
Bye bye. That's Michael Todd, Public Information Officer for the Department of Homeland Security. More storm coverage in just a moment. Stay with us. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're bringing you a two-part show. First, the impact of this enormous storm we're seeing here in New England. And in a few moments, we'll find out more about some exciting new research on bats, their incredible immune systems, what this might tell us about treating human diseases. But we're going to stay with the weather for just another moment or two. Martin Murray is with us now on the line, spokesman for Public Service of New Hampshire. Martin, thanks for taking time out. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Good morning, Laura.
Well, as we heard earlier, not very many outages reported already. What are you hearing?
You know, our system is holding up very well. We had a quiet night. As of right now, as you and I speak, we have one outage in Francistown. It's impacting about 24 customers. Crews are on scene, and they tell me that they expect to have power restored about 10:30. So it has been quiet. I attribute that to the wind. You know, our system can handle winds in the 30 to 35 mile per hour zone with usually no problem, and I think that's the case today. What's interesting, Laura, is to see what's happening south of Boston on the South Shore and the Cape and the Islands. NSTAR is reporting almost 13,000 customers without power there. So that's pretty significant. And I would say that what we'll find is that the winds are just of much greater intensity there. If they stay where they are here, hopefully we'll be in good shape, but we're ready to respond if they do pick up and we do have more outages.
Yeah, it is interesting to hear you talk about that 35-mile-an-hour standard. We heard just a minute ago, you probably heard this, Martin, Michael Todd said winds in some instances could get up to 55 miles an hour, so that's a concern.
Yeah, there'll be some severe gusts, especially on the seacoast, and that can cause, Laura, you know, a tree or a branch or a limb to come down, something loosened along Thanksgiving week, perhaps, to come down and hit some equipment. So we have to be on alert for that. We have a lot of boots on the ground. We have over 275 PSNH and contract line workers in place right now. We actually have 200 other line workers on the way, struggling through the snow to get here to help us. They're expected tomorrow. Hopefully, we won't need them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How hard has it been for your crews to get around? I mean, the roads need to be cleared so they can get where they need to go.
Yeah, it's interesting, Laura. Most people I've spoken to said that there was little problem getting to work today early. It's a little tougher right now, and they're expecting it to get worse later. So luckily, we got everyone where they needed to be very early this morning. They're in place. But as they go out to respond to calls, it's going to be a little tougher sledding.
Well, yeah, and with the Thanksgiving storm, you know, utility people like you, Martin, talked a lot about the difficulty of mashed potato snow, heavy and clumpy, and that brought a lot of trees and power lines down. What's this snow like, Martin?
No problem at all. Boy, I went out today to brush off my car, and I only had to brush off one half because the snow simply wasn't sticking to the car except where the wind had just blasted against one side of the car. So it's very interesting. It's a unique consistency. It's really like ice crystals. I think if you're a downhill or Nordic skier, you're going to have a blast later this week once the snow dies down, the wind dies down, because it's just wonderful powdery snow, as Bill Boynton mentioned. But it's really the winds that are our concern. So we're hoping that they just stay about where they are, and they lessen after the next 8 to 10 hours or so. And if they do, we'll be in good shape.
Okay, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Martin Murray, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Martin Murray, spokesman for Public Service of New Hampshire. Stay with NHPR all day for more coverage of this storm and its impacts. And we'll be back with more information tomorrow on The Exchange.